You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today we're going to be talking with Emmanuel Rose, who I've just discovered is a neighbor of mine here in beautiful Portland, Oregon, though he is currently in the eastern part of the state on a fly fishing trip, and he's joining me from out of doors. I can't wait to sort of hear a little bit more about the adventure, but here's what we're going to get into today, because we were just discussing before I hit record the challenge of a lot of businesses not necessarily adapting to the reality of all of this wonderful technology that we have at our fingertips as consumers to get the access to information we're looking for. Well, businesses are still in the dark ages when it comes to putting themselves out in front of their prospective customers, clients, patients, etc., and utilizing a lot of the tools that as consumers we use to find and make decisions about the work that we're going to be doing, the things that we're going to be buying, the investments we're going to be making. Well, Emmanuel is really focused at helping businesses navigate this not so new course, because it's time, after all, to finally dig in and get your hands dirty with the technology that's available to us. So, Emmanuel, welcome.
Thank you so much, David. I'm excited to be here and have this conversation with you.
So I saw you nodding along. I was sort of rambling there, not entirely sure where I was going with the point I attempted to make, but it seemed like a little bit of that resonated with you. So why don't you sort of fill in some of the holes for the audience in terms of where you see businesses failing to meet the opportunity that's in front of them?
I would say the biggest 800-pound gorilla is Google Maps. That 99% of businesses have not gone in and optimized and made themselves familiar with the tools of Google Maps. And it's one of the primary ways that we find stuff, right? If we're looking for goods and services as an end user, and yet most businesses are still not dug into the fact that you can optimize it, you can update it constantly, you can even post to it like you do your Facebook posts. And it's a critical part of not just local search, but also just SEO search in general.
So, I mean, that's a perfect practical application for the types of businesses that want to or need to be found, that have a physical location. I know that as a consumer, I'm constantly looking for, you know, where something is so that I can get there, or restaurants are like a classic for this, right? What's near me, right?
Yeah.
But talk a little bit about the utility of Google Maps beyond, you know, I'm out on the road and I'm looking for a place to stop to get something, because I imagine that for a lot of businesses, that's not how a consumer is. I'm not walking around looking for a financial advisor on my phone who's the nearest one that I could, you know, drive over to and ask a question of.
Yeah, so if I type in financial planner near me, then or if I type in a question about finance, those Google Maps options are going to pop up just like they do with the pay-per-click ads. So it's a way to get free search results by paying attention to the categories you're in, the search terms that you're concerned about, and then posting to it. Does that answer your question, David?
I think so. I mean, I imagine that one of the areas that you specialize in is not service-based businesses. It's or it is, but at a much larger scale. You work with B2B manufacturing companies, and I would imagine that you would still advise them, even though nobody is looking for a manufacturer, to utilize a platform like Google Maps, but for a different reason than there's a consumer driving down the road who wants to find the nearest, you know, manufacturer of widgets.
Yeah, it's interesting. Absolutely. It's fundamental SEO practice. And if you're going to engage in SEO. Yeah, you want to do everything Google wants you to do, right? We know that. But you'll be surprised. One of the keywords that I'm targeting for a client is machining and machine shops. And one of the search terms is machining near me. So, you know, if you think about I read some studies that said primary buyers for B2B are millennial aged, and they're at least doing research. And soon it'll be Gen Z joining them. To execs. And so they're used to acting as end users. And so you've got to target search terms and B2B, just like B2C, just to cover the base of that psychographic.
Well, I think this goes back to the point that I was making at the very top of our conversation, is that understanding how the person you're selling to is behaving online and getting in front of them based on their behavior. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about the generational observations that you've made and you've written about as well, because I think this is a core element in how a lot of businesses ought to be thinking, but probably aren't.
Yeah, so Gen Z is the cohort that's coming up right now. They're 11 to 26 years old generally. And they're considered the first true digital natives, in that they were born into the internet and a smartphone. And so every waking moment they've been able to be attached to the technology that is new. I mean, I'm 53. I had to learn about it in junior high school. My first computer was, I was seventh grade, right? So we're the silverbacks in this situation, and we've got to adapt and understand the environment that they grew up in. So everything has to be digital. Every transaction in your business has got to be digitized so that it can be done by a smartphone to capture those people. Your marketing also needs to mirror the successful brands that are important to their generation. Kylie Jenner is my favorite example. She's a billionaire selling makeup, and people have an unfettered access to everything that she does. She is the prototypical social CEO for Gen Z, because she uses her product, she talks about her product, and she's showing what her life is. And that's the critical change that the silverbacks have to make.
So you just introduced this term social CEO, and I want to dig into that a little bit more, because I think that there's often a fear when I talk to business owners that they need to emulate that type of individual and get out there and do the types of activities on, I don't even know which platforms, TikTok, Instagram, things that, I'm just a couple of years younger than you, but that I'm not on and I have no interest in being on. But And I think a lot of business owners have that same sort of situation. They joined Facebook. That's where they stayed, and they're not really tuned into what's going on in the rest of the online world. And suddenly they're presented with this idea. Well, there's all of these influencers who are constantly producing content and getting out in front of the audience. And if you want to grow your business, you need to do that too. Well, I'm going to assume that that's not what you're saying. So maybe you can help clarify what you mean by social CEO and where there is overlap and where there isn't necessarily.
Yeah. And I think the first thing is a little tough love, right? And to say, I don't really care if you like Facebook or like Twitter or whatever. It's what the market demands. So number one, put on, you got to grow up a little bit and say, I'm going to do it. Number two, it's very straightforward in terms of every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, you sit down at your desk and record a 3-minute video about a success story with a client, or your favorite employee of the week, or a new product announcement, or what you did over the weekend with your family that you were really happy about. 2 or 3 minutes, then chip chop, and send it out into the world, right? And if you have a marketing team, they're going to be happy that they've got video content, because mm-hmm. it's the bane of every marketer's existence, trying to get video. And if you're not if you're a sole prop, then there's lots of tools out there that can help, that can strip out the the written content and you make it a blog post. You can take the still shots out of it and you can clean that video up and make it postable to Instagram or YouTube or LinkedIn. So it's a very straightforward activity that you've got to make a priority. Otherwise, in 3 years, you're going to be gone.
So what I didn't hear you say was every day you do this and you're showing them every aspect of your personal and professional life and you're interacting with people nonstop online, right? Those were not words that I heard came out of your mouth.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, as people of our age, that's not really what drives us. We're not interested in that, but we need to participate at a level in a way that speaks to the target market. That's fundamental marketing, right? And this simple video capture system is a way to get started and start building some experience and intuition around how to produce content. And you'll get to see what gets the most interactions. Is it when I post a product announcement? Probably not. It's something about my weekend and a nice picture of my wife and my kids on a ride in Disneyland. Probably. That's probably going to get the most likes and interactions. But you've got to get in the game in the platforms where your target markets hang out in order to build that intuition over what posting is beneficial.
So a lot of businesses that are not in this space, but ought to be, probably don't necessarily market based on the individual, the leader, a persona that's representing the business. So I imagine that, you know, as you're starting to work with a new client who is just starting to adopt this approach to marketing, there's probably baby steps. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the process of transitioning from, you know, business or product as our brand to a brand representative that's personified by a real human being.
Yeah, that's I like that. And what I've found that works is I can schedule a once a month interview, and I provide written interview questions. So I have a regional business machines client, and so, you know, I ask general questions and let that general manager riff on that. And then my team takes it and does all the chopping and cleaning and all that stuff. So it's once a month, it's 7 minutes. And then, you know, they get spend another 10 minutes looking at it and making sure it's good. And then we're off to the races. So a little more structure around it and a little less time commitment, but then there's some comfort that gets built around that process.
And in terms of the way that the business is portrayed publicly, I mean, do you go through a transition period, or is it like, you know, the brand name and the brand image and the logo one day, and then suddenly there's this guy who most people have never heard of or seen before?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the need for a rebranding. You start putting out content and people start looking at it and liking it or skipping it, right? And then it's like kind of showing up at a party and everybody's already talking. Yeah. And you got to make your way into the room.
I think as you know, we have this conversation with business owners and marketers all the time. And one of the misconceptions is everybody who is in your total addressable market or the audience that you're trying to get to see your stuff has been seeing your stuff all along. And that's not the case.
Yeah, there, that one. And then that doesn't work in my industry. That's my other favorite one, right? And I'm like, we're human beings. These things are ubiquitous, right? And no, whatever your biggest competitor has been talking to a bunch of people. And so because of that, those prospects are not listening to you, right? Or they just hired 6 new people and they are figuring out how they're going to allocate their budgeting. So I think Jay Abraham said it's a continuing parade of prospects, right? Yeah. And that's always how I approach it.
Well, I'm seeing this right now. You know, most of us in the marketing space, and I know you're no exception, have been inundated with even the more recent technology that we haven't even, you know, raised. But, you know, we're in the first half of 2023. And what's the hot topic these days? Artificial intelligence.
Right.
I am probably not having a single conversation with somebody about marketing where that term doesn't come up. And I repeatedly see stuff in my newsfeed about it. And yet when I talk to a local business owner or somebody, you know, reaches out because they want a little bit of guidance or advice, and I say, oh, well, you know, you've probably seen all of this stuff that you and I are totally exposed to. Let me just show you how to quickly do that. And they're maybe they heard about it on the news. Maybe they saw a headline somewhere, but they're not as well versed in this stuff as I imagine they are. And suddenly, you know, it's a brand new opportunity. I think most businesses are too consumed in the thing that they know that they assume everybody knows about it.
Of course. Right.
But they don't.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, marketing is no different now. Right. To your point. I went through one of those AI periods where until my head was going to explode. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't keep up with anything. I'm going to be left behind, you know, that noise. And then I just shut it all down and I just went out and went and played golf and talked to people at the grocery store and, you know, did some things with real humans, and nobody was mentioning AI. it wasn't a point of conversation, right? For, you know, for marketing. So, to your point, the good thing about AI is it's given us a lot of tools, and it's complicated enough that we're going to know how to drive it. The average person is going to, you know, need help with it still.
So, yeah.
It's kind of like QuickBooks, you know, you could do your own QuickBooks.
And the fact of the matter is, I mean, that's a perfect example, because when QuickBooks came out, there were plenty of, you know, experts who just showed up and said, you know, I can help you with this. Well, there are still plenty of experts out there who are continuing to help people and businesses, you know, utilize the software, the platform, whether it's, you know, just buying the thing off the shelf, putting it into action in a business, figuring out how to transition from the software to the online version, how to connect it to things, et cetera, right? We're always going to have new opportunities, regardless of what the tool or technology is. And again, we're talking about business functions, but this is true for pretty much whatever any business is selling out there.
Yeah, and I see part of our role is being able to sort through all the, you know, the 10,000 tools that have come out yesterday, and to sort through and keep finding the 6 good ones, so that when a client does want to go into that space on their own, that they have a list from us that these are vetted, and I can tell you that these are good tools, and this is how you want to use them. Right? Most clients aren't going to want to do that. They're going to want somebody else to run them, because, as we know, it's complicated.
Oh, totally. I am prepping for a presentation on, of course, artificial intelligence, because that's the only thing anybody wants to hear about these days. And one of the interesting facts that I came across was marketing technology, right, which is where we started this conversation. There's an annual report that comes out from a platform called Chief Martech, which you've probably seen the image that comes out every year. And their 2023 image came out a week or two ago, and they listed 11,038 platforms or tools in the marketing technology space. Now, of course, that's an old number, because every day there's a new tool that's coming out. But if you go back 12 years from when they started this listing, the number has grown 7,258%.
Right. There was some email clients. There was Hootsuite, you know, there was HubSpot or something like it. And that was about it. Right.
And so, you know, you're in the middle of this space where you're trying to help a business make that connection to the technology that is available to them, right? We've talked about utilizing social platforms, interaction, engagement on, you know, social media were the examples that we used. We talked a little bit about how to leverage Google for search results, but there's this vast sea of other technology that may or may not be appropriate. And I wonder how you work with a client to determine what might be considered, what space they might even consider, types of technology, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the challenge, right? So the first thing is always about budget and the product line and marginal value of that product line, and then the lifetime value of the client. And so we can start to understand some of the math. But for most businesses, if they just focused on building their customer list and emailing and texting their customer list with news updates, sales, and offers on a weekly basis, that would increase their sales by 20%. For instance, a restaurant, you know, like how many texts in a week do you get from a restaurant about a happy hour special? Maybe one or two. And, you know, how many fly shops have got a customer list? You know, how many real estate agents send out the market news? You know, so just the most basic fundamentals of my clients, my past clients receive news, information, and offers from me on a weekly basis by text or by email. Number one, if you can check that box, then you can move on to social media, right?
Yeah.
and then you can move on to pay-per-click ads.
to your point, most businesses aren't doing the most basic fundamentals. What I think, you know, and again, I'll just bring this back to AI because it's right in our face these days. When a business owner comes across, whether it's a new social media platform or a new tool that's available, and they look at that and go, oh, that would be so cool to use in my business, but they're not doing the fundamental stuff that you just sort of outlined there in terms of basic, consistent communication.
Right.
I mean, that's I think where you as a marketing consultant can come in and help them prioritize and figure out what actually needs to be put in place and what might be, you know, something to visit down the road. Has that been something that you've encountered before?
Absolutely. I got so crazed from restaurants not getting my information. I actually built a Tastemasters Club PDF. I just email the people and say, please do this. Please invite me once a month to a culinary event that has got food and wine paired. And please keep track of all your other customers and send them an email for the same thing. And they're not even my clients. I just leave it for them. So please do this. Be a service to us.
I mean, yes, that's telling. And I'm curious in your observation of this community of restaurant owners, how many are actually adopting this?
It's still slow. It's funny. I don't understand, right? I really don't. And I think restaurants are probably the best worst example from my experience.
Yeah,
of having people who love them and who are regular customers. I mean, you think about you've got 10 restaurants that you go to probably once a month, right? But it's a rare restaurateur who can tell you the names and how to contact somebody. It's one of their clients.
And I think, you and I are in a space where we're looking at the way that businesses are owned and managed from the outside and seeing all the opportunity that they may not be seeing. What we as marketers probably don't think about is all of the things that are occupying that person's mind. Most business owners are doing the, you talked about Jay Abraham a few minutes ago, doing the thing that Michael Gerber in his E-Myth books talks about, which is that they're working in their business and don't take the step back to actually think about working on their business. And that's what, you know, you as a marketer have the ability to come in and help prioritize their attention.
Yeah, because what small business owner doesn't want to increase their sales by 20, 30, 40%, right? I mean, that's always our job as a owning a business. And that fundamental activity produces that every time. I mean, it's very straightforward. And I know you know that from your clients too.
Oh, and that's the challenge. I think anybody who is a professional service provider looks at the missed opportunities that those who we would like to be serving, or even who we serve, you know, are passing up, and thinking, gosh, if only I could get them to. And so, you know, that's something I think, as you've observed, runs rampant in the restaurant industry. So if you're that wise restaurant owner who actually takes Emmanuel's advice, right, imagine how you're going to stand apart from the crowd.
Oh, I mean, you'll be the toast of the town. There's no doubt. It's very straightforward. The special events and food. You're just preparing food, and you're getting your best customers to come enjoy it and spend more money. I mean, I love it. Sign me up.
I think one, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about a lot of the restaurants who went into, and many businesses, not just restaurants, emergency operation mode during the transition into shutdown and COVID stuff. And a lot of restaurants got a lot more active communicating, right? They made videos. The chef would get on and a video and teach, you know, people how to cook something and sell a kit of the ingredients.
Right.
And yet things open up again. And what do they do? They stop.
Yeah.
And they go back to the way they used to operate.
Right. Yeah. Well, and so that's a great point too, because one of the hallmarks of Gen Z, these younger people, is that they want experiences. They don't want to just buy stuff. And so just what you described from that, and I mean, it was great that the chefs were doing that and selling those kits, and you got to keep doing that. And then you got to bring people into the restaurant to do it with you, so you can coach them and educate them on how to do it correctly. And again, building that community, a real community versus an online.
It's interesting you bring up the fact that Gen Z is interested in experience. I think you and I live very close to a major wine region. Here in Oregon, and wineries have seen this transition pretty dramatically, right? People used to go and visit wineries, taste some wine, and then buy wine to bring home with them. But a lot of the activity that happens at wineries these days is actually just people going, paying, and enjoying the experience and leaving empty-handed, because it was really all about the experience. And so businesses across the board, not just in service and hospitality, are likely going to need to figure out, how do you change up your offer to really speak to the way that people want to interact with your business? And I think this is a perfect corollary to the way you were describing the social CEO concept earlier. It's not just how do you communicate with them and market to them, but also what are you offering?
Yeah, right. Like the fundamental distinction of what a client is versus a customer, right? Client is somebody who's who the end results you care about, where customer is transactional. And so that's a big part of this, is that you're seeing your market as clients, and that you care about the outcomes they're getting, and you care about them as people, and you want to present them opportunities to learn and be engaged. And so, especially with the amount of turmoil in the financial markets now, real estate has totally changed. There's great opportunities for trends, pieces, and conversations and events. Obviously, in the financial market and retirement planning, the same kind of thing is valid. You know, the scourge of inflation and how to manage inflation and those kinds of pieces are things to build content, events, and interactions around, and people care about this. They need to know, and they're going to get it from somewhere. right? So you should be the expert, right? The local person should be the expert.
I love that. I'm listening to the birds chirping in the background, and I happen to be looking on my screen at the lineup of books that you've written. I bring this up because one of the books is not necessarily about business and marketing, but has a family of birds on the cover. And so I wonder if we might close out our conversation by sort of sharing the story behind your children's book and your clear connection to nature.
Yeah. I wrote this series of books for my grandson, whose name is Henry, and it's called Wenaha Henry, the Red-Tail Hawk. And this book is about forest fire and the aftermath of forest fire and how the forest regenerates and actually ships with Doug Fir seeds so that the kids can have an activity and you know, plant a tree or grow a tree. But the my time in nature is always what re-energized me and has been an important part of my life. I'm committed to a week a month outside, and I will be passing that on to the grandkids as well. So
I love that. And I think what you've just done there is demonstrated what you were talking about when you say, let's get on video and talk a little bit about what I did with the family for the weekend, because it gives more dimension to you to be able to talk about the things that are important to you in life. And it might be that one little thing that somebody hears and says, gosh, I like this guy. I need to reach out to him. I need to get to know him because he's the type of person I want to be helping, you know, support my business. So I guess to that end, I should ask for folks who are interested in learning more about you and the work that you do, where can they find you?
EmmanuelRose.com, and that has both the business books and then also the children's books, and a way to get in touch with me on LinkedIn or however they'd like to communicate.
Beautiful. We will, of course, have a link to that in the show notes, as well as any other links to your stuff I can dig up. Emmanuel Rose, thank you for finding time joining me from Eastern Oregon while you're away for your 1 week a month, which is a pretty awesome thing to be able to do. I really appreciate you spending time with us.
Thank you so much, David. I've enjoyed our conversation. Hope we can do it again.
As have I. Folks, you've been listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. I look forward to seeing you back here on another episode real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.